Good morning, church family. This is another edition of the Sun is Rising devotion. Well, there's a lot of fear walking around us right now, but we have nothing to fear as long as we live out our lives here and now for Jesus Christ, as we follow him and allow him to lead. The question I have is, do we believe this? I want you to listen to a few thoughts. I've found some things on the internet I've been reading and some devotion things and my own thoughts as well. We do many things to avoid death, the pain of death, and the uncertainty about what waits us after death. Some people refuse to plan their wills or attend funerals, for that forces them to think morbid thoughts about what's going to happen. Others avoid new ventures that involve air travel, even though they are more likely to die in a car accident than in a plane crash. Still others of us shrink back from sharing our faith, where it would mean persecution or possibly martyrdom. If we are going to be people who live Christ-centered, counterculture lives, and I think that's so important, we cannot let death bully us with concerns about death itself, the matter of our demise, and what lies just past the doors of the afterlife for so many. Instead, we must be fully assured that Christ's work on the cross and in the resurrection means for us that there is nothing to fear. In the writing to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 2, the author immediately recognized the problem of human existence. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. As human beings, we are made of mere blood and flesh. And once the blood is spilled, we are no more, and all of us know that. God, being without blood and flesh, without a physical body, has no concern about dying. He doesn't. He's existed forever. This makes it hard for us as humans to feel that God understands us. So Jesus comes into the scene so that he could go through the same experiences as people. God himself came in the incarnation, put on human flesh and blood, so that he too could experience death, and in doing so, takes the power of death away from the evil one. First, Jesus identifies with us. So the first reason we have nothing to be fearful of is because Jesus identifies with us in order to defeat the devil. In Hebrews, it also says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The writer of Hebrews is certain of the reality of the devil. Apparently, he has some real ability to use death as a means to his ends, for it says that he has the power of death. What the devil has, in fact, is a delegated and usurped power. It is delegated from the Lord with limitations, as seen in the case of Job. For God alone is the one with the power to create life and to return men to dust. Secondly, Jesus identifies with us to free us. We have nothing to fear because Jesus, in identifying with us, delivers us from the fear of death. Jesus delivers those who are slaves to the fear of death, it says. The fear of dying controls the lives of unbelievers so as to enslave them to actions that seek to escape death and how one might die. It seems to overwhelm us at times. For example, the captain of a sinking ship, the Costa Concordia, departed the ship before the passengers to make sure he kept his life even if others perished. In a sense, everyone who tries to leave a legacy of their own greatness are trying to keep themselves from being erased completely by death. Jesus, however, frees us from the fear of death, so that we do not spend the rest of our lives making decisions based on avoiding the pains associated with death. Uniquely, Jesus does not do this for the angels, but only for those described as the offspring of Abraham, for you and me and all who accept his grace. Thirdly, our God diffuses the divine wrath upon us. We do not have to fear because Jesus identifies with us to diffuse the divine wrath, according to Hebrews 2:14. We are identified as brothers of Jesus, a truth by virtue of divine adoption. He's adopted us. By coming in a body and experiencing the same things we have experienced and are experiencing, Jesus takes on another role of the high priest. Under the Mosaic law, the high priest had one unique duty. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he took the blood into the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat, atop the Ark of the Covenant, in order to atone for the sins of Israel. If God accepted the sacrifice of the one goat, another goat that was spared would not return. In this way, God signaled that his wrath against the people of that nation was satisfied. Christ, by coming and experiencing the things of human life, and going to the cross, taking the role of the high priest upon himself, it is he who would take sinful humanity to God through his sacrifice and sacrificial bloodshed in his death for us. It is he who would bring the holy God down to man. Christ did this by making a proportion for the sins of the people, by taking them upon himself. The word literally means the mercy seat. Jesus is the mercy seat where God covers and removes sin because his wrath has been satisfied through Jesus. He takes care of the real problem we face at death, the judgment of our sins. And lastly, our God solves the issue of our being under this weight of being tempted to leave him. We have nothing to fear because Jesus has identified with us and diverted our desertion. The Hebrews faced real persecution. They were tempted to desert their faith and leave Christ for Judaism. They were tempted to leave Jesus because to follow him meant martyrdom, that people were being persecuted, and many around the world are today. However, because Jesus took every temptation to the full extent, enduring it without giving in, he understands temptation better than any of us. Because he endured the cross with our sin and God's wrath upon him, he knows death better than any of us. Thus, when the Christian life gets too hard, when submission seems to be too much, the pain is too strong, waiting is too long, or love is not returned, it is not time, to throw in the towel and turn to something else we're more comfortable with in the past. It is time to run to Jesus, who is able. So as we face many trials today, man, we're facing them more than I've ever seen in my life. And believe me, they are real and they are many. We are called to turn to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Turn to him because he knows us better than we might realize. He identifies with us. He thus frees us from all that comes upon us and anyone who comes to him. He took the wrath or punishment upon himself, and he knows how we are being tempted to turn and run when it gets too difficult or too hard. And that's why we can come to him with confidence, knowing he will give us what we are seeking right now and what we need, exactly what we need right now. So, what is it you're dealing with? I don't know, but God knows. And what we need to do is run to Jesus. He'll help us with whatever we're dealing with. Prayer thoughts for today. Scott Rooney, Linda Dobbins, Christina Meal, and her family, which is on hospice. By the way, she had a doctor's appointment, and she's really feeling good about it. Feels like God's been having her hand upon her. George Myers' brothers, Bob and Don, are not doing well and near home going. Julie Cassandi's mom's doing better, and we just want to continue to lift her up. Kim Z's needs in her family, her cousin with nerve disorder, her brother Randy, and things seem to be doing better there, too, as we just keep trusting God. God is good. And then we have Sheila Nesmith, a friend of Jane Ned's, who's struggling with a leukemia right now and needs our prayers as she's getting close to going home. Then our nation, our churches, and our families. Take some time in prayer, and once you've done so, God bless and have a great day.